So we've been working through Hebrews chapter 12. We're into Hebrews chapter 13. This week and next week we'll kind of conclude our series on Jesus is and who Jesus is that we've been learning through the book of, or through the last two chapters of the book of Hebrews. I debated this morning by starting our time by having you all stand up and playing a game of Simon Says. You remember the game Simon Says? Where you just follow the instructions of the leader, right? And this morning we're really talking about leadership. So I debated having you guys all stand up and playing a game of Simon Says, but I figured it might take like the duration of the service to complete that task, so we decided not to. But leaders, as we're talking today, I want us to be really clear about this. Leaders come in all different shapes and sizes, and they lead in different areas of life. So leaders. It might be a business leader that you know of in the community. There may be politicians that you know that are great leaders. There might be teachers or coaches or pastors or parents or peers that have these great leadership abilities and are in positions, in roles of leadership. And I would suggest that probably everybody here this morning, whether you're right here physically with us or at home joining us online, that every single one of us that's listening today is a leader in some situation. We are all leaders in some kind of situation. On Thursday, I attended a virtual leadership summit where Craig Groeschel shared his definition of leadership, which I really liked. His definition of leadership was this. Leadership is influence, never about title or position. You get that? Leadership is about influence, never about title or position. You can't force yourself and be a good leader. So we all, I'm suggesting, we all at times in our lives have influence into the lives of others. And because leadership is about influence, that means that we are all at times in our lives leaders. As I've mentioned many times during this study, the book of Hebrews is authored by Paul and is written to the church. It's written to people that know Jesus Christ and believe in Jesus Christ and are trying to follow Jesus Christ. These words are meant for those who are in a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus. Today's passage, Paul is talking to us concerning people in leadership roles. Roles of influence into our lives, the lives of others. So I want you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 13. And we're going to start just simply by reading verse 7. And in verse 7, this is what Paul tells us. He says, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." We're going to stop right there for now. So the first thing that we're going to look at this morning is we're talking about people that are in places of leadership around us, including us being in roles of leadership often, is we need to remember our leaders. We need to remember our leaders, number one. Very simply, Paul is asking us to remember our leaders and remember what they've done in our lives. We're being told to remember those who lead us to a closer walk with Jesus Christ. Those who have influenced us. People who have invested themselves, their time in our lives. And then he goes on and he says, consider the way that those leaders have lived their lives or are living their lives. And when we find people who are really living that life of faith, what does he tell us to do? To imitate their faith. Don't have the exact same faith as somebody that is a leader in your life or an influencer in your life. But use their example of focus. Use their example of determination to help you live a solid life of faith yourself. We're instructed to remember these people, according to Paul. We shouldn't take their example lightly or for granted. Good leadership is when you are in a place of leadership, as many of you are, good leadership is hard to come by. It's not always fun and it's not always easy. Leaders, like everybody else, have failures in life and have moral failures in life at times. And I think it's really important that as we talk about remembering our leaders, we also remember, don't elevate our leaders too highly. Right? Somebody once said, and I agree with this wholeheartedly, they said, be careful not to put your leaders up on a pedestal, because the higher they are, the bigger the fall. And I think there could be some truth to that. If you're a follower of Christ, then there is most likely someone, or maybe someone, plural, right? A few people who helped you to follow Jesus, to proclaim Him as your Lord and as your Savior. There are people that I'm going to guess have done that in your life. Someone who has helped your faith grow in Jesus Christ. Maybe somebody asked you to just simply come to church one day. Maybe it was the way your aunt or your uncle lived out their lives, and you just witnessed them living out this life that revolved around faith. Maybe it was a parent who faced tough times, but their faith never wavered during those tough times. Maybe it was that Sunday school teacher or public school teacher that had influence into your spiritual life. Maybe it was a grandparent who always told you Bible stories as a child. Maybe it was a pastor. Maybe it was somebody sitting near you who just welcomed you on a Sunday morning and made you feel like you're a part of the community. Maybe it was a youth leader, a deacon, an accountability partner. Maybe it was somebody in church that you got to know and you saw their faith being lived out. It's a long list of potential leaders that we have in our lives. And I'm absolutely certain that that's not a complete list. You all know the people that have invested in your lives. And you also know how you've influenced other people in their lives. The point is that someone loved and cared about you enough to tell you about Jesus. They taught you about Jesus. They loved you enough to show you who Jesus is. Somebody in your life showed you by their actions and or through their words that they showed you the right path to take. Now here's something I think that's important for us all to remember at this point, right? Is these leaders in our lives, they knew the right path before they could be good leaders. They had to be good followers first. See, a good leader has to be a good follower, and a good leader has to follow the right leader. And the right leader, I'm suggesting today, as we're talking about Jesus, is Jesus. Jesus is the right leader. I know in my life, there have been many, many people that have been a part of leading me into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. There have been people that I know personally. My parents would be a perfect example of that. As a child growing up, I was blessed to grow up in a Christian household and parents that invested in our spiritual journeys as children. So my parents would be some of those personal people. But there are people that I've read books from, authors, that have challenged me and helped me grow in my faith with Jesus Christ. There are people that I've listened to speak that have influenced who I am today. These are all different leaders in my life, influencers in my life. We need to remember the people that God has brought into our lives, and I would say take it a step further and thank them. We should give thanks to and recognize these people who have made it very real and tangible difference in our lives. We should value and honor good leadership. People who invest in our lives. We must not take good leadership for granted. People that give of themselves. A little later in this chapter, I want us to pick up again. We're going to jump down to verse 17. A little later in this chapter, Paul, this is what he says in verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. So the second thing we're going to look at is allow leaders in your life to lead. People that God has put into places of influence in your life, allow them to actually lead. Go into life with an open mind as a student, somebody that's willing to absorb what people are giving to us. I want us to look at what the writer is asking us to do. He says it really clearly in the very beginning. And I know that this isn't what we'd like to hear, because the human side of us kind of clenches up a little bit when we're told to obey somebody. Right? This is God's word we're talking about here. And his instructions are really clear here, that when there are people that are in authority over us, in leadership positions over us, we are to obey and to submit to leaders within our lives. We're not talking about blind obedience here. Don't get me wrong. The writer wants us as followers of Christ to be persuaded to follow those who are in leadership and not to resist their authority when they are leading biblically. That's not always an easy thing for us to do. We want to do our own thing. We often think we know better than. And we'll fight or we'll even rebel against others if they're going a different direction than we see fit. That's a dangerous road for us. But it's our human instinct. We don't want others telling us what to do. Right now, people in leadership roles of all kinds within the church are thinking, man, I like this message. I hope everybody else in the church is listening, except for me, who's the leader, right? Because I lead whatever area of the church you lead. Well, just be patient, because it gets a little bit better yet. Let me tell you a really interesting, fun reality that should be scary, too, for people that are in any kind of role of leadership within the church. On the one hand, we're told to obey and to submit to leaders. And in turn, verse 17 says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you. They keep watch over you. Another version adds in, over your souls. They keep watch over your souls, it says. Literally, this has the connotation that leaders never sleep on the job. They're always vigilant and alert and attentive, looking out for the best of others and their spiritual journeys and their spiritual growth. And then the verse goes on, right? It says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. That's the scary part. One day, anybody that's in leadership kind of roles within the kingdom of God, within the church, will have to give an account for our actions. When I stand before God, I fully expect that He's going to say, Dustin, I entrusted people with you. I allowed you to influence the lives of others. You were supposed to teach them, love them, shepherd them, proclaim God's word to them. Let's check out your life as a pastor. And then He's going to pull up that iPad. I don't know about that part. I'm pretty sure it's in there somewhere. But then there's going to be an examination that takes place. Most of you aren't in the role of where you are pastor or have been pastor. But many of you are in roles of great leadership and influence within the church of God. Your Sunday school teachers. Your life group teachers. Your deacons, your church board members, your ministry directors, your youth group leaders. You volunteer during vacation Bible school, or you're volunteering at the homeless shelter that we host. Maybe you're a parent of a child, and that's your influence into somebody else's life spiritually. You're in a place of spiritual authority in the lives of others, and we'll have to give an account for that. God's going to see how faithful I was to the calling that He gave me, and He will see how faithful you were to the calling that He has given to you as well. I also believe that God will look at each one of us and ask us a really simple question. What kind of leader, what kind of influencer were you? And here's why I believe that. Because in 1 Peter chapter 5, the first four verses, just listen to what it says. It says this, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and witness of Christ's suffering, who also will share in the glory to be revealed." And then he goes on to say, to these leaders in places within the church, "Be shepherds of God's flock that are under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." I wholeheartedly believe God's going to ask us one day, what kind of leader were you? Peter is clear that there is never to be heavy-handed, dictatorial, ramming and jamming of the flock. But instead, we are to be a positive example, shepherding each other, shepherding the sheep of God. Let me just say one other thing here. And this is so important, especially in today's age, I believe. Make sure that any leader that's a part of your life spiritually, and right now, I'm assuming because you're watching here or you're in the worship center, that I might be a little part of your life spiritually. So this applies to me too. Especially me right now in your lives. Make sure that any leader that may have influence into your life is consistent with the Word of God. Consistent with the Word of God. Always filter what others say and or write through the Word of God. Make sure that what you are being taught or asked to do is consistent with the Word of God and the character of Jesus Christ. The unfortunate reality is there are people that will intentionally mislead. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 9 says, do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our heart to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which is of no benefit to those who do so. The point of this writer here is many false leaders have tried to add to the Word of God. People have tried to improve upon the Word of God. Not so much in translation, but in saying, this is true and this is not true. People have worked at changing the Scriptures to fit their life story, their life narrative. When it comes to God's Word, listen clearly on this, nothing else is needed. Nothing. We could come up with all kinds of thoughts and ideas. We could try to change whatever we want. We can say we've become enlightened and we've become smarter. We can say all that.
But the writer tells us, do not be led astray by false teachings. Someone says something is okay, which you know goes against the Word of God, then you know not to believe them. This is also why it's so important for us to read God's Word, to be in God's Word, so that you know that if what you are hearing, what you're being asked to do, whatever the case might be, that you know that it is biblical and that it's following God's Word. Because people are master manipulators, and we're only getting better at it, unfortunately. Back in Ohio, Rachel and I knew a gentleman by the name of John. And once we got to know John, we got to know John's story a little bit. And John had been a pastor, a youth pastor at a church in Ohio, and had multiple accusations against him. And as things began to unfold over the course of probably months, if not years, the story came out about John and the manipulation that he was involved in from the pulpit, from teaching the youth at this particular church over the course of years. And this manipulation literally led to sexually inappropriate and sinful relationships. Absolutely sinful. He had taken and twisted the scriptures and manipulated people into doing things that are just ungodly. And he now will spend the rest of his life in jail as a result of that. I tell you this to say, we need to be careful as we are following people, whether it be here at Fairland or wherever you might end up at someday in your life, to make sure that what we are being asked to do, what we are being taught, is in line with God's Word. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9, Paul then, he says, it is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, he went on to say, not by eating ceremonial foods, which is of no benefit for those who do so. Paul is saying we should hold on to what is internal, the grace of God, that we should not find our fulfillment through external things. That's why food is brought into the picture here. Remember, this is a book written to Jewish Christians who knew to follow certain dietary laws. But those laws have been set aside. Paul is saying that as Jewish people, you can abstain from certain foods, absolutely, and it will not help you. Or you can eat what you want and it will not help you. But we are to focus on the grace of God. Finally, God's people are told this about those who are in leadership above us. In verse 17, it says, obey your leaders, submit to their authority. And then it goes on. It says, they keep watch over you as men and women must give an account. Obey them Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. So the third thing we're going to talk about this morning is be part of creating joy. That's part of our role as followers, is to be a part of creating joy for those who are in our lives, who are leaders within our lives. God is reminding us that one of the great attributes of a brother or sister in Christ to a leader is to obey and to submit. But he goes on with the ending of the sentence and he says, with joy, by creating joy. Man, does that mean that I got to do what they tell me to do and be happy about it? Our job is to bring joy to those who are in leadership roles. Partly because, as I said earlier, just leadership isn't easy. It's about making some very difficult decisions, and the roles of the people in the church is to trust those who have been placed into leadership as they seek to follow Christ, to trust them. Again, it puts a huge burden on those in leadership. Their job is to follow Christ and then bring honor and glory to Him. Now, just for a couple minutes here, I want to share a little bit more of a personal story with you. Our church board, we've had to make, over the course of the 11 years that I've been here, we've had to make some tough decisions at times. And that's just, it's a part of leadership within the church. Now, I remember a very specific incident that would probably be the most recent one that would stand out to me. A few years ago, the church board is working through a future staffing plan. Many of you would remember as we were talking about that at congregational council and what have you. And I went, I just wanted to spend a second telling you a little bit about that story. Because here's the deal. I respect each and every member of our church board. I believe that they are truly a part of the board for a time such as this, that God has anointed them and brought them in to being in those roles. I totally respect each and every one of them. During this time that we were looking at multiple possibilities of continuing the future, of how our staffing would look for the future in our congregation, I was a little frustrated at times. I can admit that. We met during our regular meetings. We had phone conversations outside of the regular meetings. We had to add extra meetings to our schedules, all to kind of continue processing and working through together on what this might look like. At the end of the day, I'll tell you this, I did not like the decision that was made. I didn't like it. They knew that I didn't like that decision. But they also knew that I believe that God has placed this team into leadership here at Fairland and that I would honor whatever their decision is. Our board members do not always agree on every agenda item. And I, the pastor, don't always agree with our board members on every agenda item. But we are still a part of the whole. A part of the whole. I fully believe I would have been wrong if I had chosen to go behind their backs and begin to stir up dissension because I didn't get my way. Another story that goes along the same lines as this, and I love this story. It comes from maybe 7 or 8 years ago when we were in the middle of our campaign for building the new addition on the church. If you remember, we came to a time in that campaign where we asked for the green light vote from the church. And we asked, we said, if you vote yes on this today, we are moving forward. We are taking all the necessary steps to move forward to do this project. And like 96 or 97% of the congregation voted yes on this. The next day, I had a conversation with somebody from the church that said to me, came to me and said, Dustin, I want you to know I voted no on this. But he went on. And this has been something that has just been this beautiful example to me of how we should be responding as believers in Jesus Christ. He went on and he said, it would have been difficult for me to vote yes, and gave me all the kind of reasons as to why that was, which I could understand. But he went on and said, 96% of the church said this is the direction that we should be going. They feel that that's how God is leading. And because they are, I will be supportive of it. Wow. Man, I want to be like that with my life. It's not about me. It's about where we sense God leading us and directing us. Even when we don't necessarily agree with the decision, if it is not immoral, unethical, or against God's word, we need to trust the leaders that God has put in place in our lives and not intentionally make their lives miserable by stirring dissension. In fact, we are to go beyond not just stirring dissension, but we are to be a part of bringing joy to their lives. As a church family, we are going to have disagreements. We're going to have frustrations and issues because we are no different than any nuclear family. That's just a part of being family. Every church has these things. But God's Word gives us clarity of how we should function. I just want to end with a couple final thoughts here. Most likely, every single one of us is in a leadership or influence role in the life of somebody else. I started out by saying that. I said it hopefully 5 more times between now and then. I'm saying it again because I really want you to understand this. Your life, you as a person, you are in a role of influence over somebody else's life. You are a leader. As believers, we must intentionally make sure that our leadership, our influence, is used to advance the kingdom of God and help others grow in their walks with God. That's what we're called to do. We're instructed to remember those who have been leaders in our lives. We are to allow them to lead by submitting and obeying their decisions as a leader. And we are to make their role as a leader joyful. None of this is easy. But it's important. Jesus is by far the greatest example of a leader that we could ever see and reference. Jesus practiced servant leaderhood. He cared about those who he influenced deeply. He was not a dictator, but he was focused on his purpose in life and accomplishing that purpose. He began the most incredible movement that there ever has been in history. Jesus is the greatest leader. And Scripture gives us insight into how we should be leaders and treat our leaders. Verse 7, remember what it told us? It said, look into the life of your leader. And if they are living their lives in accordance to God's Word, imitate that. I'm summarizing it. But that's what it told us. So if Jesus is the greatest leader, we need to be looking at His life. And we need to be imitating it. Because I can tell you, He is leader of each and every one of us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the time to get together again and be in Your Word. Lord God, You have chosen to allow us in our brokenness, with our faults, to be in positions to lead, to influence other people. And though there are many great leaders throughout the world that lead huge organizations and businesses and all that kind of stuff, and that's important, I understand that there's importance to that, I'm going to suggest the greatest and most significant place of leadership is in the spiritual development of others. Because that's eternal. That lasts forever. So Lord God, help us as Your people, as Your children, to look for ways to influence other people's lives, to lead within other people's lives, to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ in a way that's pleasing and glorifying and honoring to You. Help us not to hold that over people when we are in roles of different leadership. Help us not to be heavy-handed or dictatorial in our leadership, but to be part of this team called the body of Christ. Help us, Lord God, because You have brought people into each one of our lives that have influenced us. Help us to remember them. Help us to pray for them. Help us to encourage them to make their role in our lives and other people's lives a joy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.